بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فبشر عباد الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه أولئك الذين هداهم الله وأولئك هم أولو الألباب. The greatest compliment that anybody can receive in this life is that Allah Ta'ala tells him that you are on the cause. You haven't drifted away from the cause. You're on track, you haven't moved off the track. So in this verse that I've recited, Allah Ta'ala speaks about those people that are on the cause, they're on track. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَاهُمُ اللَّهِ. And then with that, وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Not only are they on the track, not only are they on the cause, but they are the ones of understanding, they are the ones of intelligence. So obviously the one that is going to be on the track, then he can't be an unintelligent person, he can't be a fool. The fact that he is intelligent, then he will be careful to see and ensure that he's on track. He won't want to move away from the cause. You can imagine a person that has boarded the train and after 3-4 hours of traveling, he's discovered that he's on the wrong course. He needs to go to Johannesburg, and after 3-4 hours of traveling, he discovers that this train is on its own route, en route to Cape Town. And the next stop is Cape Town, it's after 24 hours. So can you imagine the level of ghabraat, parishani, uneasiness in this person? In a very, very uneasy state. He said, I spent so much of my time. I knew to be there on time. And I caused it for myself. And compared against this person here, that person that is on the cause, maybe he's got some difficulty on the train or whatever. But he's got the compliment, he's got the assurance that you are on the cause. So just being on the cause, that in itself is such a compliment, reassurance, stability and strength. So Allah Ta'ala is reassuring and He is giving you that stability, He is giving you that strength that don't worry, you are on cause. You are on the track. You haven't moved off the track. Really, you can't find a greater compliment than this. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَاهُمُ اللَّهِ. In the whole Surah Fatiha, this is what you're asking for. اِهْدِنَ الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. In Ramadan, I was just explaining this point. اِهْدِنَ الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. You recite this dua and the surah in this way, with this imagination, with this frame of mind. Allah, please, hold my hand, hold my hand. And leave me in Jannah, please. This whole journey through this life and through the qabr and whatever else, but all the way, just hold my hand, because if you're going to leave my hand, I will definitely stray. So with that frame of mind, Allah Pak, please, just hold my hand and hold my hand in the company of the righteous, an'amta alayhim, and then until you have left me in Jannah. They also will have Allah Ta'ala permanently. But here is the trial. There is no trial. With death, trial has ended. The examination has ended. There's no more examination. There's no more trial now. The trial and the challenge is before death. After death, there's no challenge. There's no trial after that. So until you haven't placed me in Jannah, Allah, please hold my hand. So can you imagine what would be the frame of the mind of that person that is asking Allah, please hold my hand until you leave me in Jannah? I need the company of the good people and people that have moved away this way or that way. Maghdubi alayhim waladdal. I don't want to hear about them. I don't want to be near them anywhere. I don't want to be near them anywhere. So you prevent me that I don't be with those people that have moved on this way or that way. You get two extremists, right wing, left wing. So I don't want to be on either of the extremists. The path of extremism I don't want to be. Leave me and you hold me until you have ushered me into Jannat without me falling in any of these extreme spots. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَاهُمُ اللَّهُ. And then Allah Ta'ala Himself is saying you that these are the ones that are intelligent. For intelligence, you need to know and you need to understand what is your goal. Right? If a person is in school and he's more concerned about the extracurricular activities, sports, events and the soccer, and he's not worried about his science, his biology, his mathematics, his English, Afrikaans, then what will you say? You lost it. Won't you say that? This is, by the way, it was just to give you some type of encouragement. That little bit of sports and extracurricular activities was just to make you a little bit happy. It was a little bit of a lollipop or a sweet in your hand, a chocolate, take this and move on. It wasn't for you to get stuck in. It wasn't for you to get deep into it. Right? So, when we come to this life and we are moving through this journey through life into Jannat, inshallah, right? Through this journey, then there's going to be these sideshows. And at no point you will not find this sideshow. You will definitely find the sideshows. Sometimes it's going to be the wife, sometimes it's going to be the children, sometimes it's going to be the immediate family, sometimes the extended family. So these sideshows will be there. And Allah Pak is telling you in advance, أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً أَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالُكُمْ عَدُوٌّ لَكُمْ. Your wife and your children are your enemies. Your wealth is a fitna, is a trial. Not that you must go and kill your wife. Someone say, no, she's my enemy now, go and kill her. Defy her, break her down. No. فَحْذَرُوهُمْ. The idea is just be careful. فَحْذَرُوهُمْ. وَإِن تَعْفُوا وَتَصْفَحُوا وَتَغْفِرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. When he says be careful of them, means that they mustn't distract you from your main cause. But in the event they are causing some confusion, don't go and hit them, don't go and smash them, don't go and kill them. وَإِن تَعْفُوا وَتَصْفَحُوا وَتَغْفِرُوا. Overlook the mistakes, forgive them, cover their faults, and continue. And the reason is obvious. That for you to undertake this journey, you need her. Right? How many men can say, I'll be totally safe, I don't have a partner. Totally safe. No problem. I won't commit any haram. Not even mentally, not even spiritually, not even in my mind will I commit any haram. Is there any man that can say that? It's very difficult. Even a man that is at 75, 80 years of age, he will tell you, I don't have a partner, my mind is running around everywhere. At that age also, his mind is not bereft, is not free of all these type of thoughts. So you will need this. But you need to keep it at the back of your mind that she is also a trial for you. The child is also a trial for you. So are you going to keep to the cause or are you going to allow yourself to be distracted? What are you going to be doing? Okay. Many a times, it is the wife and the child that makes the decision in the man's life. She will exactly work out the itinerary for the holiday. This is the itinerary for the holiday, this is what we're going to do, this is we're going to go, we're not going to go. So the whole itinerary is worked out, everything is worked out, chalk and cheese. And then if you move away from that itinerary, then there's qiyamah. One person was telling me, qiyamah. Because we're not confronted with this type of situation, so we don't know what goes on. One person is telling me now, in the month of Ramadan, so they thought of doing some type of charitable work. So they went to give some halim or something, somewhere, some poor area they went to give. So anyway, he explained to his wife, see, we've got this time between Asr and Maghrib to do this type of charitable work. We need to do it quickly because we need to come for iftar and Maghrib namaz. The wife is taking her own time, so he told her for the second time. She's still taking her own time. He didn't scold her, he didn't reprimand her, he didn't raise his voice. How you address his wife? Softly, kindly, compassionately, lovingly. You know, we've got very limited time and we need to do this. And when he said this for the third time, now he says the rest of the Ramadan, I don't get any food, no attention. Forget the food and the attention. Forget the food and the attention. Now she's sleeping in a separate room. She doesn't come out of the room. Just 5 minutes toilet, eating and gone back to the room. I don't even see her. See? So sometimes this becomes a trial, becomes a problem. But then you will not say that and it's her problem entirely, it's partly your problem. Because when you started this whole journey of marriage, you started off on that note. You started off on that note that she is now your equal. Whereas she's not your equal. You are the leader, you are the commander. Qawwamun. Ar-rijalu qawwamun. You are the leader, you're supposed to be instructing her. Some 5 or 6 weeks back, maybe before Ramadan, someone asked, you know, okay, we hear the ulama saying that women are deficient. Naqisatul aqli wa deen. So why does the Quran and the Hadith say that we are deficient? So I could understand what this person was saying. Alright. Normally I would say that I don't question the authority of Allah Ta'ala, but I just left it. So I went on a different note, different note I explained to him, or explained to her, that Allah Pak is telling man in advance that she is going to be weak. So you be compassionate towards her. In her physique she's going to be weak. You don't take advantage over her, over her weakness. Now she's weak now, and because of her weakness I'm taking advantage of her. Don't take advantage of her. Understand that she's weak. When she's weak, you must then be considerate towards her. Don't take advantage of her. Like physically she's weak, then in her decisions also she may be weak. So, because of her physical weakness, you don't take advantage of her. By the same token, because of her deficiency in her understanding, there too you mustn't take advantage of her, and nor should you conform with her completely and entirely. Many a time you find it in a fit of an anger, I would say, divorce me now. You know, I shouldn't have been with you, I would have been much better. And then after, when she comes around again, I don't know why I said this type of words. Don't ever do that, eh? Just now she said this, and thereafter she has to retract. So in that fit of the anger, she says things that she's not supposed to be saying. So Allah Pak is telling you, and He's instructing you that you are stronger. When you are stronger, then you're supposed to be controlling this. You're supposed to be regulating this. You're supposed to be maintaining the balance, that you don't take advantage over her weakness, whether it's physical, whether it is intellectual, but you don't take advantage of her. So, in this verse, Allah Ta'ala is speaking about أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَاهُمُ اللَّهُ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. People of intelligence. Now, this is the endorsement of Allah Ta'ala that you are the intelligent and you are on cause. But then what are you required to be doing? To be on cause, to be on the track, and not to be distracted, not to be moving out of the track, right? What are you supposed to be doing? What's required of you? So in this verse, Allah Ta'ala says it very, very clear. فَبَشِّرْ عِبَادِ أَلَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلَ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَ. They listen attentively to the message, word of Allah Ta'ala, or the message of Allah Ta'ala, or the message of His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They don't just listen to it casually. They listen to it, and they listen to it attentively. This is the first requisite. Because in mankind you find two classes. إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَذِكْرَ لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ. So this message is going to be effective, but for who? Either that person who is complete, perfect in his understanding, sound reasoning. So the message goes up to him and he takes it immediately. Right? The message of Allah Ta'ala reaches him, and it just had to reach him and his heart just accepted it. As Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the message had to reach him and he accepted straight away. But Umar radiallahu anhu had to hear those verses of Taha ma anzalna alika al-Qur'an al-Tashqa, and he accepted it straight away. So there wasn't a battle, there wasn't a struggle. So this is one class, one category of people. That in one stroke, they will get the message entirely, their hearts will accept it immediately. Their hearts are so sound, so beautiful, so magnificent, that immediately they hear it and they have accepted it straight. So their hearts are so good. So you will have, in humanity, you will have these two classes. One, you just explain to him, he's got no other agenda. He's got no preconceived ideas. There's no bias within him. There's no prejudice in him. There's no filth, and there's no contamination of any pollution and wrong in his heart. So when the truth reaches him, his heart accepts it straight away. It's one class of people you will always have, that their hearts are unadulterated. There's no pollution, there's no dirt, there's no malice, there is no preconceived ideas, there is no bias, there is no prejudice in his heart. He's not partial, he's looking at it and looking at it fairly, complete, holistic. He's looking at it how he's supposed to be looking at it. So his heart is taken on complete. So this is the one class, one category of persons that they will listen to the word of Allah Ta'ala and their hearts will take it, accept it, immediately they will take it. And the second class, إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَذِكْرَى لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ. Right. If you don't belong to the first category, what do you mean? There's no hope left for you. No, there is hope for you also. أَوْ أَلْقَ السَّمْعَ وَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. Or that person who listens with the presence of the mind, وَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. He listens. But he doesn't just listen absent-mindedly. He doesn't listen with, absence of mind. He's listening, but he's listening with the presence of mind. His mind is also focused. It's clear. He wants to know what Allah Pak's message is. What is the message? What Allah Pak is conveying to me? He's listening attentively. He's focused at the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for him, this will be effective. As Haji Imdadullah Sahib rahmatullahi, while she was in Makkah Mukarrama, used to be having lessons of the Masnavi Sharif. And there would be people that were not understanding Urdu. They may be Turkish origin, right? But they would sit in the dars. So someone would ask Haji Sahib rahmatullahi, these people are of Turkish origin, and you are giving the tafsil, you are giving the explanation in Urdu. So how will they understand? So Haji Sahib rahmatullahi explained, okay, for this you don't need the language that is spoken, you need the language of the heart. If you got the language of the heart, then the heart is speaking to the heart. The heart is conveying the message into the heart. So the greater thing is the heart. One is the ear. The ear is just the means, right? But who is receiving the message? It is the heart. The mind is receiving the message. So if the heart is right, then you have won 3/4 of the battle. 90% of the battle is won when the heart is right. But if the heart is polluted, it's wrong. Now you see, the abundance of information, has it caused greater confusion amongst people, or has it brought them closer to guidance? So much of any masjid you will go, so much of literature, right? So Darul Ihsan also had to put a block everywhere. All extra literature, we'll go and dispose of it respectfully. They have also understood. People also understand there's so much of literature. But that abundance of literature is causing greater confusion. So just the literature is not the solution. It's the heart that is the solution. أَوْ أَلْقَ السَّمْعَ وَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَذِكْرَى لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ. Heart has to be absolutely sound. It has to be absolutely clear. Unfortunately, many people will say, no, my heart is clean. My heart is clean. But what is the meaning of the cleanliness of the heart? Do you know what is it? Do you know what does it mean to have a clean heart? It's simple to say, I got a very clean heart, my heart is very clear. But be confronted with the situation and then we see. When it concerns you or your immediate people, your wife and your children, then you look at it differently. And when it concerns someone else, then you look at the whole thing differently. Now, my wife, my child, they can't let me down, they can't betray me. Oh, this person here did this, it can't be, it's possible. But my wife, my child, no, they are farishta, they can't do anything wrong. But the next person, it's possible, it can happen. See, when it relates to us, then we view the situation different. When it relates to the next person, then we view it differently. So this is what we say, soundness of the mind. The mind must be absolutely sound, clear, heart must be absolutely in place. And for the heart to be right, you need two things in the heart. The heart must be positioned right. Right? The heart must be positioned right. It's upside down. It's not positioned right. you won't get it right. See? So the heart must be positioned right. Even if it's clean, but you must be positioned right. So the direction of the heart must be right. The position of the heart must be right. Anything is being poured into the heart, it's receiving it completely. And if the heart is not positioned right, then you are filling it up, but because it's not positioned, it's just overflowing. It's just coming out. It's just pouring over. Why? It's not positioned right. So the heart must be positioned right first. That you are thinking right, you want to know what is the message of Allah Ta'ala. The heart must be positioned right. Some people played the lottery, you know. And they came to Thanabon, to the Mawathani Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. We played the lottery now, will we win or not? But they came for, they played the lottery. After playing the lottery now, they're asking Mawla that we will win or not. So Mawla said, Nikalo in khabiso ko. These stupid people, take them out from here, take them out. What they came for here? See, Mawla said, Nikalo, Niklega, Niklega, Niklega. Now, the heart is not positioned right. It's upside down, the heart is upside down. So how are they going to understand, how are they going to perceive things correctly? So one is the heart has to be correctly positioned. When Mawla wrote the kitab Islam Rusum, right? Because there was a lot of innovations and bidat etc. in India. So Mawla had to correct them. People's beliefs were upside down, corrupt. Their actions were wrong. And Mawla had a deep concern for India and its people because he belonged to India. So he had a very deep concern and he would mark down everything. This is wrong, this has to be corrected, these are the wrongs that take place in this practice here, whatever, whatever. Be-pardagi, there is no parda here. People are just meeting. Bride just came into the home, so brother-in-law, everybody is watching. She's on display, everybody must go and see her. So whatever was wrong, Mawla detailed. When he detailed all those wrongs, so Mawla began to receive some books, some letters of compliments. What were the compliments that he was receiving? So Mawla, you wrote this kitab, Jazakallah, Jazakallah. You know, we didn't know the procedures in a lot of the rusum that we're doing. You know, a lot of the innovations we are practicing. Some of the procedures we didn't know. But now you wrote all the procedures that this is how this is done. And the engagement, this is how it is done. This is how the boy goes and meets all the women folk. And this is how the woman meets all the bridegroom's family, all that, you know. All these things, we didn't know about it. Now you showed all the procedures. So one is the heart has to be right. The heart has to be right. It must be sound, it must be clear. And the soundness of the heart, you do not understand it. And when I say you do not understand it, for every system in this world, Allah Ta'ala has created some expert, someone that is specialized, right, in that. Doesn't it happen? For heart, don't you have a specialist? For motor car, don't you have a specialist? So for everything that goes on in this world, Allah Ta'ala has someone that is an expert on that, that will be able to give you some advice. He'll be able to enlighten you on that subject, right? Don't you accept that? So like Allah Ta'ala has got that system, Allah Ta'ala has got this system as well. There's no coincidence. We think, oh, it just happened accidentally. Now, I was telling one friend of mine that the major discoveries, science agrees that it was coincidence and accidents. We talk of electricity, it was coincidence, right? We talk of communications and phones and all that, coincidence, Graham Bell and whatever, electricity. So they say that it was coincidence. I think it's not coincidence, it was God inspired. Allah Pak inspired it. Right? But they discovered it by accident. Now why did they discover it by accident? Do you understand why they had to discover it by accident? Allah Pak was impressing upon man, by Ullu, stupid man, you would have never discovered it of your own intelligence. I see the need for it. You're looking for something else, then I'm showing you electricity. I am showing it to you. Now understand and accept. Acknowledge your limitation. But man said, no, no. Innama utituhu ala ilmin indi. I have received this because of my own intelligence. After going through all this, Allah Ta'ala took him through. And yet he's defiant. He don't want to accept, he doesn't want to acknowledge. Allah Ta'ala, it was from you. And the furthest will go, no, it was an accident. But who created the accident? Who made you understand this thing? Allah Pak did it. So you don't believe in Allah Ta'ala, therefore you say coincidence. You don't believe in a creator, you have to link the information to something or some person. So now you just say coincidence. Right? So is, what is the answer, what is the solution to this type of a stupidity? You are bent upon wrong. You are stubborn now. Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah, he says, that don't waste your time with two classes of people. One is the person that is stubborn, obstinate. He is bent upon wrong. So for him, the possibility for him to come onto the track is very difficult. Because he is bent on wrong. He doesn't want to see the right. He's closed his eyes. He doesn't want to see the right. Right? And the second person, one is Ghawi, and the second one is Ghabi. He's naturally retarded. Naturally he's retarded. He can't also grasp the concepts. He can't grasp the information. One is Ghawi. He's bent upon wrong. He's bent upon wrong. He doesn't see the right. He's bent upon wrong. Right? So the right also will appear like wrong to him. He's become like the bat. In the light of the sun, he becomes blind. In the darkness, he can see. See? So, the wrong he can see, the evil, the dirt, the filth, darkness he can see, but light he can't see. So, it's his own problem. He must come out of his obstinacy. And the second person is naturally, he is retarded, but no matter what explanations you will give him, but naturally, he is retarded. He's not going to make any inroads to that person. So, forget these two classes of persons. That person who's got an open mind, clear mind, or to some level he's got an open mind, then you can work with him. Because his mind is open, he wants to receive. Otherwise, he's on the attack. You say him something, he's attacking. Whether he's attacking you verbally or mentally, you tell him something, but verbally you can see that he is not responding, he's not accepting. So don't waste your time. You can see from his responses, that he's not interested, he doesn't want to accept. Now for the time, you just leave him aside. Right. So فَبَشِّرْ عِبَادَ أَلَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ. We are talking on this verse, يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ. They listen attentively to the word of Allah, to His message. When I see people in this day and time, not only here, but anywhere in the world, when I see, and one of the reasons for them to come onto the track becoming more and more complicated and more difficult is, there is a lot of taste in our minds, right? We are listening to talks and reading kitabs for additional taste, not for additional strength. Taste is a different thing, and strength and stability is a different thing. Right? What we think to ourselves that more taste and we're adding value. More taste doesn't add value. Right? You add too much of spice, it doesn't add value. What you need stability and you need strength. Now, as a result, because we have become addicted to this, more taste, more enjoyment, more excitement, right? So we look at books, more excitement. We look at orators and speakers that have got more excitement, right? And we don't realize that we are confusing and complicating ourselves. We need to get onto a goal. We need to get to Allah Ta'ala, right? We don't need all these sideshows. So when we are getting to so many speakers now, right, and perhaps everybody must may be right. We cannot doubt the integrity, but he's looking at it from a different perspective. When he's looking at it from a different perspective, now we're getting confused. He said this, and you're saying this, and that person is saying this. So now you're looking at it from different perspectives, whereas you need to take one path and reach up to your goal. So you're listening to him, listening to that person, 20 people are giving you 20 different views. Will you reach up? Or will you make your path more and more complicated, more and more difficult? Whereas everybody may be giving you good advice, but just that they're looking at it from different perspectives. Now, you know, one person say, you know, take a Corolla. So you took a Corolla. So no, Corolla is a waste of time. Take a Jaguar. So no, Jaguar is a waste of time. You hop from that. No, take a Merc. You went to a Merc. So no, you're wasting your time. Take a plane. So, you know, you don't know what to do. You're moving from one to the other. Everybody is trying to take you at the same point, to the same goal. But you're looking for color and excitement. When you're looking for color and excitement, what's going to happen? Then you're going to complicate the whole thing. Isi ko kehte hai, yakdar gir, muhkam gir. Hold on to one and hold firmly. The idea is you need a guide to take you to the Baitullah. You got one guide, you have got the confidence, you got the respect. Then move on with the person. Then leave the sideshows. Leave the excitement. Leave all the chutneys and the chatakas, leave it aside. Then move on, just hold on firm, just carry on. And khud ba khud, of your own you'll begin to see. I'm just wasting my time. There's a lot of complication, lots of complication. People listen to it. And I say sometimes it is the speaker's fault as well. Because he doesn't understand the audience. And sometimes, or most of the time, it is the audience's fault, not the speaker's fault. Sometimes it is the speaker's fault, the way he's addressing himself. Right? You say, no, you didn't do this, now you're wasting your time. You don't know anything about deen. So sometimes it happens. Someone comes into a Jewish and says, you must do this. If you don't do this work here, then you didn't do any deeni work. You're wasting your time. Now, in Arabic, they call it hasra iddi'ai, right? Hasra iddi'ai is, in other words, you are exaggerating on a point, right? You say, al-hajju arafah. Al-hajju arafah. What is hajj? Hajj is standing on the plains of Arafat. Hajj is standing on the plains of Arafat. So one friend of mine is telling me, it means if a person didn't stand on the plain of Arafat, kya isko bewakuf keh sakte hai? Anyway, that's the same thing now. To explain that joke would be another 5 minutes. Okay, jisne wukuf bil Arafat nahi kiya, to kya isko bewakuf keh sakte hai? Right, anyway, that's it. So you say al-hajju Arafat, what do you mean? Okay, hajj is only Arafat? No. It's emphasizing the importance of Arafat. But now because our minds are so weak, so no, hajj, I got Arafat, I got the whole hajj. Whether he made tawaf as ziyarat or not, he's not concerned about it. Whereas it was just to emphasize the point that this is the most integral part of your hajj. It doesn't mean that you got this, then you got the whole hajj. Like you say, ad-deenu an-nasiha. What is deen? Deen is to wish well. Right? So you're wishing well, now you got all your deen, what? You don't have to read namaz, zakat, you don't have to do anything else, what? It's just to emphasize the point that this is a very integral point of your deen. What? To wish well for everything. It doesn't mean that you've got this, you've got your entire deen. But now if you misconstrue it, your mind is very limited, then you can't explain this correctly. So sometimes it happens that you've got a 15 minutes talk. Juma, pre-Juma talk in 15 minutes. So what is deen and nasiya? Now you went away. I said, no, I wish well, I got my deen, finish. So the talk was incomplete, was deficient. So sometimes it is the fault of the speaker, and most of the time it is the fault of the listener and the audience. Because the audience wants color and excitement. Hey, this was exciting. This was exciting. But now you need to see that after that exciting talk, what was the production? How many people came on to Hidayat? How many people started beginning to perform namaz? They were not doing parda, they were observing parda. They were in interest and usury, they left out all the bad practices. They went into gambling and they left out gambling. They were into porn and they left off porn. Or they went into some other haram, robbing and cheating and whatever else. They left all that business, they left it out. So that's a production. But you just take the talk itself as the actual work, obviously you missed the point. The idea was the talk was the guide. The talk was the guide. You just hold on to the guide, only listen to him only, and don't follow his instruction, obviously you're missing out. The idea is, after you've heard the guide, then carry on. But you've got one guide, you need 20 guides, I ask you. In anything that you are doing, you've got one guide, that you need another 40 guides, you don't need 40 guides. So in our context, the better thing to do, and I'm looking at our context, right? You identify with one, two or three speakers that you know you understand very well, your mind can reconcile these facts, you feel quite comfortable that they are giving you some type of a light and a direction, just move on with them. You don't have to condemn and run down any other speaker, and you don't have to have all this color and this excitement in your life. But what you definitely need is someone to guide you, to take you through. Like in school or in a madrasa or in a class, right? What do you need? You need the teacher to guide you the concepts. You got the concepts in mathematics, you are passing his exams. But I got an exciting teacher. He's exciting. A lot of examples he's giving. Very exciting. Math teacher, right? Will that make you pass? You can have so many talks, so many lectures in the school. But now, then ask you to apply it. Apply those theorems that we have given you, those concepts that you can't apply a single one. So will you say that that's a successful teacher? Or will you say that the child is bright? No. The child was supposed to take the concept or the theorem and then move, apply it, experiment the thing, see if he knows it, and he's grasped it very well. Exactly the same, now you get this type of points, the point is giving you a talk, right? Say, no, you look after your eyes and your tongue, you'll get into Jannat. And you heard that thing finish. You were very impressed with the talk, you cried also, and till you made the last dua at Juma, you were crying out in tears and all that, you wiping your tears, came to the park, to the parking lot, then everything is forgotten. Yeah, but it was a terrific talker. By the time you reach the home, then everything is forgotten also. You may share the ideas around one, two days, after that it's forgotten. The idea was that was the energy, that was the nourishment. And that nourishment was supposed to show you the road. It showed you the road is supposed to be lasting with you until you reach the goal. It wasn't for that excitement. So sometimes it is the problem with the speaker, and sometimes it is a problem with the audience. So you need the right type of a speaker, you need the right type of an audience. But in our context, I say that you identify with 2-3 speakers that I can identify, they're showing me the path, I can understand them, they understand me, let me carry on. I need to move on to Jannat. I don't need to hear so many exciting talks, I don't need that. But what I need is definitely I need a pathway to Jannat. I can identify with him, select those 2-3 speakers, move on with them. Otherwise you'll come and complain, like you people have five people coming, this person is saying this, and this person is saying this. But then why did you go to those talks? Why did you go to those talks and confuse yourself? In the time of Hazrat Aurangzeb Alamgir rahmatullah alayh, one woman had committed zina, right? So if a married woman commits zina in an Islamic state, then she is stoned to death, right? That's the punishment. And I often say this, that there is no substitute for the law of Allah Ta'ala. If it's the law of Allah Ta'ala, there is no replacement. You go and replace it, you'll make a mess of things. You will show your own stupidity. Now, people that went to replace the law of Allah Ta'ala and they moved this law, right? They shifted this law. Said, no, it's not a crime. As long as it was done with consent, right? Now, their own daughters are being raped. Forget their daughters, they are raping their own children. Forget their daughters being raped, their own children they are raping. Because they tried to play around with the law of Allah Ta'ala. And I'm telling you with experience, I'm not telling you just hearsay or some information that may be the game of my mind, no. I'm talking what they're doing with their own children they are doing. But why? Where it came up from? It came up from this point that you try to replace the law of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says, no, just this person, you wipe him off. You wipe him off, it's your safety. People of intelligence, you do the law of Allah Ta'ala. And you'll feel life, you'll find life there. You'll find continuity with it. But you replace the law of Allah Ta'ala, then that's your destruction, it's your termination. You terminated yourself, you ended yourself. So you continue with the law of Allah Ta'ala. No matter what your brains may say, what your intelligence may say, what your reasoning may say, but it is the word of Allah Ta'ala. The word of Allah Ta'ala is your continuity. So this woman committed zina. Now, she is really, really worried now, because this is a law. When this is a law now, and I've done this, so I'm going to be proved guilty as it is. I'm already there. They've already almost found me guilty. So I'm going to be stoned to death. End of life. So how to go and save life? So she went to an alim. In this world, the world is called this world because of the confusion. In one surf, in one line, you'll find Abu Jahl also. You'll find Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu also. And you'll find the Ra'is al-Munafiqeen as well. One surf. So it's a confused world of confusion, don't you find? Ra'is al-Munafiqeen also, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He is the leader of the Kuffar, he is the leader of the Muslimin. So in one step you'll find the same thing. Now within this confusion you have to work out your way. You have to work out your way and then you'll have to remain very firm on your way. Many a times I say to university students, when they want to go and study comparative religions, they say, don't waste your time. So why? Why are you being so biased? So I asked them, just to make them understand it, one shot, in one go. I said, why are you Muslim? So what do you mean, why are you Muslim? See, I told him that you're doing a comparative study, right? So when you do a comparative study, you're going to study 20 religions, right? I need to ask you that, why are you Muslim? So you'll have to say you didn't do a comparative religion, comparative study. You just inherited Islam, right? Otherwise, if you want to do a comparative study now, or leave Islam now, na'uzubillah, and do a comparative study, compare Islam against all, there's about 1,000 religions, right? One could make a proper comparative study in all the religions, then you will come to a conclusion that Islam is the truth. Have you got the time for that? Are you prepared to do that? Then, what were you doing? You were just making taqlid, you were just following it. So only that person is allowed to do a comparative study who is strong in his own faith, is absolutely grounded, is rooted in his own faith. He can't be shaken. In other words, in his faith also he is strong, in the knowledge also he is strong. In his allegiance and obedience to Allah Ta'ala is also strong. Both ways, ilm and suluk is very strong. Otherwise his ilm is only very strong. But in suluk he is not strong. He can be bought off just now. He's such a superb speaker. Knowledge so good. And I bid for him so much. You bidding 5,000, I'll bid for him 20,000. Now he's gone to the highest bidder. And he can misconstrue facts. Can't he misconstrue facts? He must misconstrue facts. So that person needs to be so well rooted. Now he's so well rooted both ways, in suluk as well as in his ilm, in his faith, is so well rooted. The chances for that person to go astray is very difficult. But the person is not so well rooted. Now you see something very interesting, this idea. See, but why Islam is not like this, man? Islam should have been like this. You see something interesting, that side. Why isn't Islam like this? Why isn't Islam like this? Or he's understood Islam but didn't understand Islam completely and fully. I was doing that ayat on sifarish, you know, shafaat, intercession, recommendation. So one convert is telling me afterwards, so Hindu convert to Islam. He said, initially I was really confused. Because I should see Muslims now, and they're going to graze and all that. So I don't know, what's the difference? We're also going to idols and interceding, and they're also going to graze and interceding. So they're also going to creation, we're also going to creation. Now you see the confusion that it creates in this person's mind. The person is not strong and not rooted, then it creates a confusion. So I told him, see, an intercession is like, I asked you to make dua for me. Is there anything wrong in that? I asked you to make dua for me. Is there anything wrong in that? No. Rasulullah himself told Umar radiallahu anhu, "Ashrikna fi du'aika ya ukhayya." Or kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam, that make dua, just make dua for me, my brother, right? So to make dua for each other, right, it's an intercession. I'm asking you to intercede on my behalf. I'm asking you to make dua for me. So what's wrong in that? The wrong in you people is, in the Hindus, is this, that they feel that idol can accomplish that work. Similarly is that person that is going to a grave and he feels that wali will make things happen. Got no children now, he went to him, made the thing happen, you know. So he made dua now, he started getting children. He gave me children. Now that's the shirk. That's the shirk. Now, then for that they concoct a lot of stories, you see. They say now, just to support this type of a mindset, they concoct a lot of stories. You see, Malakul Maut was going with the whole baggage of the arwah, you know, all the death that he had taken. He was here, the whole parcel, and he's going. As though now, he's on flight, he's loaded everything, he's on flight. Malakul Maut is on flight, and he's took all the arwah is taken, and he's moving. So one lady came and complained to her, Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi, okay, you know what, you took my child's life away, you know, and you must return it. So no, Allah already decreed. So then I would have come to you if I know that you were a great wali, you know. You think I just came to you less than? No, I thought you were a great wali, therefore I came to you. So anyway, now Malakul Maut is passing, and Sayyid Abu Qadir just intercepted him. Intercepted him, he took all the baggage of all the arwah. So he first asked him nicely, "By give me the arwah." He said, "No, Allah's command, I'm to take it up." He said, "Just pass it here." He passed it here and he left all the arwah. Now all the dead became alive. So now they concoct these stories. And when they concoct these stories, now they're giving it in the open. When they're giving it in the open, now the mind of the person is confused. The mind of the common person is confused. He doesn't know what's happening. So there's a difference. One is now to believe that that person can make things happen. You got no rain, then he'll bring rain for you. You got no children, he'll grant your children. And one is, I go to a person, but he make dua for me. So what's wrong in that? Is that shirk also? No. Nabi Salman, he asked the Umar radiallahu anhu, make dua for me. So what's wrong in that? There's no problem in that. That's a different thing. That's a different thing totally. Both are saying that we need Allah Ta'ala to accept this dua. Whether it's me that's making the dua or you making the dua, it's subject to Allah Ta'ala's approval. So that intercession and recommendation has got two requisites. It's got two preconditions. One precondition is that you are in the position of making a recommendation to Allah Ta'ala. إِلَّا لِمَنْ أَذِينَ لَهُ إِلَّا لِمَنْ أَذِينَ لَهُ الرَّحْمَنِ. So the recommendation can only be made by a person who has been consented by Allah Ta'ala to make the recommendation. Anybody can't go and make a recommendation. And the second condition is that the recommendation must be for a person that Allah Ta'ala also consents. You can't just make a recommendation for anybody and everybody. You can make a recommendation, but for the one that Allah Ta'ala approves, he is worthy of a recommendation. Right? Like in our terms, we will say, right, he wanted a place, for example, in Lutuli Hospital, right? He wanted to be the head surgeon, right? So, one is the one that is making the recommendation, he must be consented by the hospital itself, the authority. And number two, is this person also must be a qualified, experienced surgeon. Otherwise, you take on Alibaba and say, no, make him the head surgeon. Will they do it? No. They won't do it. So same by Allah Ta'ala also, he also, the mashfu lahu, who you are making the recommendation for, he must also be in that position that Allah Ta'ala consents, that you can make a recommendation and intercede on his behalf. See now how people can get confused. I say, take 1, 2, 3 people, but move with them and carry on. Close your eyes, this side, that side, don't look. But you listen to so many things, so much of information is storming in your mind, that you don't know who to accept, who not to accept, confusing yourself, complicating yourself. So this was under the verse, يستمعون القول. And I explained this incident of Alamgir Rahmatullah Alayhi, this woman came in. So she comes to this person, it's Alim, she make, you know, work out a plan for me. I'll be marjuma just now I'll be stoned to death. He says, alright. You see me right? I see you right. Ye dunya hai aaj kal ka. Ke see right. But Allah Ta'ala also, they feel that this thing will work. See right. Whereas that currency doesn't work. Any currency doesn't work that side. So see me right for 1,000, I'll see you right. So right now, she gained 1,000 and said, alright, you know what? Tomorrow at the hearing, when you go at the hearing, final hearing before they sentence you, you must tell Alamgir Rahmatullah Alayhi, okay, you know, I went to listen to one talk, and the Mulana was saying, hey, khabiso, stupid people, why are you making zina? Agar ek kafi nahi, to do le lo. Agar do kafi nahi, teen le lo. Agar teen kafi nahi, char le lo. Hey, stupid people, you filthy people, why are you making zina? If one is not sufficient, then take two. Two is not sufficient, then take three. Three is not sufficient, then take four. So she presented the story. She said, arey, badtameez, this is not for a woman, this is for a man. Anyway, he dismissed the case. Whatever it was, but he dismissed the case. But he passed an ordinance at that time. Okay, see, this woman here heard the talk, but she heard the talk half. He doesn't know what happened, what drama took place, he doesn't know. So he said, she heard the talk half. So he says, see, in any talk, in any bayan, the bayan mustn't be half. You don't listen halfway. And number two, you don't explain maslas there. You don't explain maslas there, because everybody is going to misconstrue that thing. One person will say, no, Mawlana said it's like this. And someone said, no, Mawlana said it's like this. And the third person will give his own version. So in a bayan, in an open forum, you don't give him. To learn maslas, now you need some introductory facts as well. Now, you know, the introductory facts I've got, and now he's explaining that to me, so I see what he's getting towards. So, يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ. And the second thing, فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَ. فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَ. After they have listened attentively to the message of Allah Ta'ala, then they follow the best cause. What? They follow the discourse. Discourse can have different explanations, different meanings. Alright. One meaning, the discourse, in other words, there's one cause that is permissible. And another level is a level of virtue. One level is a level of permissibility. And the second level is a level of virtue. So you're not just content on permissibility, but you're going on virtue. I say, جَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. A tooth for a tooth. An eye for an eye. A life for a life, right? A punch for a punch. Everything must be equal, right? So that is the level of permissibility. One swear word you gave me, I give you one swear word. Right? Not that you gave me one swear word and I gave you 50 swear words. So you gave me one, I gave you one, right? So equal for equal. جَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. فَاعْتَدُوا عَلَيْهِ بِمِثْلِ مَا اَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ. Punishment of equality. فَمَنِ اَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ فَاعْتَدُوا عَلَيْهِ بِمِثْلِ مَا اَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ. اُقُوبَتْ بِالْمِثْلِ. But, وَلَمَنْ صَبَرَ وَغَفَرَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَمِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. But to be patient and to overlook it, that's a work of high resolve and determination. This is the level of permissibility, and that's the level of virtue. What do you want? You want this permissibility or you want virtue? You want permissibility or you want virtue? What do you want? Right? You want that you pay $500,000 and get one car. And you want it that way, that you pay $500,000, but you come to me at a certain time. And when you come to me at a certain time, then, you know, if you come to me at that certain time, because that time I'll be very relaxed and very calm, and I can knock it off. 50% I can knock it off. For $500,000, 250 I can knock off. So what do you want? You want permissibility or you want virtue? $500,000 you're getting for half the price. So won't you go for that virtue? You will go for that virtue. In material sense, you will go for it. So Allah Pak says, وَلَمَنْ صَبَرَ وَغَفَرَ إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ لَمِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. It's work of resolve. It's work of determination. Well, he did this now. He did that. Finish class now. Forget that now. I can't keep on harping over old stories. One person was telling me that, you know, they had a long drawn fight with someone, quarrel, whatever, 5-6 months it lasted. But last week, he went and settled it and forgot everything. Although it was that person's fault. But he asked him for maaf and all that. Eventually they made maaf and all that. He said, but the amount of peace and happiness I enjoy and that person enjoys is something beyond this phenomenal. I could never imagine that I enjoy so much. So the enjoyment in forgiveness is far greater than the enjoyment of retaliating, you know. I want to retaliate. I want to revenge. I feel that there is something in that. No, I must put him in his place. So there may be some enjoyment. There may be an appeasement of your emotions. But the enjoyment for forgiveness is far greater. Why is it far greater? Why is it far greater? Can you give me an answer? Why is it far greater? The simple answer is, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. I ask you, you're better off if Allah Pak is with you or the world is with you. Just ask yourself. Allah Pak is with you, you don't need the entire world. You don't need anything. Allah Pak is with you. So when is Allah Pak promising you that I am with you, then you will definitely feel the comfort, the peace of the mind, the relaxation of the soul. Everything will happen. But that just requires a little bit of understanding that I want Allah Ta'ala, I want the world. Who do I want?